We're going to recite the Lord's Prayer together as we, in these few weeks, are focusing in on that. If you would read with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, Father, we thank you that you have taught us to pray. Because just as many of us this week have confessed, we don't know how to pray. Worries overwhelm. Competing kingdoms overwhelm and vie for our attention. Doubt creeps in. Discouragement. But Father, you have in your grace given us your Son who has taught us to pray. You are our Father who loves us. You are our Father that is holy, and our world does not revere him that way. Father, you have a kingdom that is already in the hearts of your people, but the best is yet to come. It is not what it will be, for it will come on earth as it is in heaven to vanquish sin. And Christ, the sacrificed lamb that was slain for the sins of his people, will rise victorious and be praised forever in your kingdom. Death and sin and mourning will be vanquished, and we will always be with the Lord. Comfort. You have comforted us with these words, and we pray in our hearts, our lives, our family, our nation, and our world, your will be done. Father, we come to you on behalf of Andy Rossi this morning, as he has said many times that he desires to be able to do your will, to serve those in need, to care for them, to do whatever is necessary to be able to serve Christ by serving his church. Father, I pray that you would strengthen his body. Give him his lungs strength. I pray that you would give his mind strength and encouragement. After so long in the hospital and in weakness, Lord, that you would encourage him and strengthen him. I pray for his sister Vi, for Emily, who loves him so. I pray for Jane and all those who are active in his care, Lord, that you would encourage them as well. Father, may we be faithful as a church to love and encourage those who are sick, those who are in prison, those who are oppressed and hungry and poor. May we love our neighbors well, that the world may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. May we love the body of Christ in such a way that the world will say they are different because they belong to Jesus. They are his disciples by how we love one another. And that begins by surrendering our hearts and our wills to Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith. Father, not our wills, but yours be done. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Again, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. And this last probably month or two, we are specifically going through the Sermon on the Mount. Normally, I pick a much longer passage. Today's a little bit longer than last week. Last week was just three words. This week, it's 7 or 10 or something like that. But what we do is we open up God's Word and be able to see what the author was communicating to the original audience, how it is relevant, how it points us to Jesus, how in light of it we think differently, we speak differently, we love differently, we live differently, and how we can go and be more like Jesus and serve and love our neighbors well and share with them the good news of great joy for all people. For unto us is born that day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And as children of God, as disciples of Jesus, we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because that's how Jesus taught us to pray. Now, some of you may have grown up in the church and you remember the common track or way to share the gospel. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. But I remember as a kid and as a teenager, and I still, along the way, the question is, what is God's plan for my life? And how can I tell it? Sometimes people are simple, what is God's plan for breakfast? Do I want Rice Krispies or do I want eggs? What should I do this summer? Or then bigger questions that as you get older that come along, where should I go to college? And what should I study within them? Where should, or who should I marry? Should I have kids? How many kids should I have? Where should I work? Should I stay and can I stay in my current job? Should I buy a house or should I rent? Interest rates are 7%. What is the will of the Lord for my life? How do I spend my money? Where should I go to church? How should I educate my children? What car should I buy? When should I retire? What should I do during retirement? God has a wonderful plan for my life, but what in the world am I supposed to be doing? Brothers and sisters, as we ask some of these questions, as a former boss of mine at AT&T would said, God has designed you to use your gray matter. Use your brain and figure it out according to the principles he's laid forth in his word. But most importantly, the psalmist in Psalm 18:30 tells us this, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is trustworthy even if you make a bad decision for breakfast or where you should be working or what house you should buy? God is bigger than our mistakes. What's God's plan, Ocean Park? What's God's will for us that are living in a broken world? Where, as we see, the nations are raging, wars in the Holy Land, in Ukraine, in Africa, in Myanmar, where rival kingdoms on social media and television and all kinds of empires that have been created by man are demanding our allegiance, and if you don't, they will punish you. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, there are powers of darkness that are raging and they are dominating because they know, as Luther says, their doom is sure. There are spiritual forces around us in the heavenly realms. And despite all of that, the confusion, the fear, the worry that we have, God has a wonderful plan to take people of every imaginable condition, people from every tribe and tongue and nation, from every rival kingdom of this world, where the world tells us those people are not allowed to live at peace with one another. Whether it be socioeconomic, whether it be ethnic, whether it be even down to the genders of men and women. That God is taking men and women and he's transforming them to be like Jesus. John 6, Jesus says, "For this is the will of my Father." God's purpose in creation, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. And no matter how death temporarily takes them, God will raise them up on that day and bring them into the new heavens and new earth, and we will always be with the Lord. The will of God, as Romans 8 also tells us, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. The will of God for your life, you have to figure out many of the choices you have to make, but rest assured that everything that is happening to you, that our sovereign God is using it, the good things and the things that stink and the things we don't like, to make you more like Jesus. The will of God is to transform a people into the image of Jesus Christ in thought, in word, in love, and desires and affections, and in deeds. People in whose heart God's kingdom already reigns and rules, and a people who one day live in God's eternal kingdom in the new Jerusalem, in the new heavens, and the new earth. This is God's wonderful plan for your life. And you get to figure out some of the details, and God has given you talents and abilities to figure that out. That is His plan. But the question is, how do we get there? How do we get looking like Jesus and thinking like Jesus and loving like Jesus and acting like Jesus, being conformed into the image of His Son? I am glad you asked. And I think the alliteration is just really on point, okay? Let me just say this. No. One, personal surrender. The will of God begins with personal surrender. As I read to the children, as one of our transition verses is, as Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. And the second, in pursuing the will of God for our lives, that we pour in Scripture into our hearts and our minds. We will never know the will of God for us if we never open up God's Word, if we never pour God's Word. What does God want for us to do? Somebody asked, what can we do right now in this world that's crazy? And my answer to them was go to church. To be able to learn God's Word and have it poured into our hearts, and it transforms our thinking, our acting, our living, and we go forth in a broken world with the light of Christ. And then finally, plead for shalom. Plead for shalom, or you could say peace. Let's take a look at this first one, the call to personal surrender to do the will of God, His wonderful plan for our life. This third petition in the Lord's Prayer begins with complete personal surrender. This is the necessary step in the sequence of prayers that Jesus' disciples are confessing in the Lord's Prayer. That when we slow down and look at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is teaching us to pray this way, not because if we say the right words, it unlocks some secret level or secret code or secret power, because it brings us in alignment to the heart of God and working in His principles, that those who pray, "Thy will be done," already have confessed that God is my Father. This transformational understanding of the gospel. And that God's name is worthy to be honored over all things. And it is not, and we pray that it will be. And then in the earlier in this verse, "Thy kingdom come," it is the confession that I am a loyal subject of my good and gracious King. So when we pray, "Your will be done," it's not a promise of devotion that I'm going to do this. It's not a pledge of allegiance to the kingdom of God. It is a confession of complete surrender to the Father. I am laying down my will that God's will may be exalted and may be known in my heart, my life, and my world. And it's also, not only is it surrender, but it's an appeal to the Father that I desperately need the Father to accomplish His will in my heart, because my heart is restless, is rebellious, as the hymn writer says, is prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. It's a confession that I surrender to Jesus, as we sang, and I desperately need Jesus. It's not the fatalism, like, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. It's not the passivity of let go and let God, or go limp and let God, or whatever, you know, I'm just gonna do here, not do anything. No, no, remember, as my boss says, use your gray matter, think and work and work and pursue the kingdom. Trusting that, like a farmer who works and plants and fertilizes and then goes to bed and the Spirit of God makes it grow, we do the same thing. And it's not a happy-go-lucky Hakuna Matata, nothing's wrong, I'm apathetic, whatever, you know, whatever. It's an active pursuit in surrender to the divine assistance of the Holy Spirit that I desperately need. My will leads me away, but do your will. I need you, and to not only accomplish your will, but I need to surrender. And this, what this petition is desperately, is pursuing the heart of our God and what He desires for His creation. It's a heart that seeks God's truth. It's a heart that seeks God's priority, God's wisdom, and God's rule and reign for my life. It's a prayer to God, and it's a prayer that trusts God's wisdom to guide me in every situation and an experience I face. It's not a magic eight ball or Tom Hanks, and he put the quarter in that machine that, you know, turned him into big. But what it is, it's a prayer of submission that in every situation and every experience, I need you every hour. From when I was a little boy or a little girl to my old age, whether I am working, whether I am resting, or whether I am playing, in my thought, word, and my deeds, in my body, in my relationships, in my speech. In other words, all who genuinely pray the Lord's Prayer realize God's will alone is best, and it can only be accomplished in the hearts of His people by the Spirit of God working in our hearts. St. Augustine, in his classic biography, The Confessions, expressed his desperate plea for the transforming power of God with his struggle with sexual sin. It said, he writes this, he says, "One day, with all of myself, I shall be able to cling to your being. Then I will put aside sorrow and labor, and my life will wholly live for I will be wholly full of you. But even now you fill up the one you lift up. I am aware that I am not full of you, so I am burdened to myself. Lamentable joys contend with joyous sorrows. This mixture of rebellion and entrust, or as Paul says, I don't do what I'm supposed to do, and I do what I don't want to do. All of this happening, this struggle within, which will win the contest? How can I know? Augustine knew he wanted to please God, but he also wanted to please his flesh. And this is his great prayer. O love, whoever burns and never consumes, kindle me with new affections. Oh my God, you call me to purity. This is the will of God. So give me what you command, and command whatever you will. I trust you. you can command and then enable me to be able to accomplish your will. The prayer, your will be done, is a prayer for God to act in my life. It's the longing for full submission to God's kingdom, and it's the desire for God's will to be done in my heart, my life, and my work. Wherever the Lord has called you to, in every aspect, we desire to surrender all to Jesus. And sometimes we associate this song with the altar call and the call to Jesus, but this is a song that we need to remind ourselves every day when we wake up. Put this on your Alexa routine to play this song as you drink your coffee. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, Your will be done. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Mr. Mark, this is a call and a prayer for God to act. It's the pursuit of God's purpose and God's power to work in me and through me. Only those who come to the end of themselves and renounce the throne of their heart can submit to the will of God for them and declare, "Not my will, but yours be done." Let me ask you this morning. Some of you are visiting, some of you are believers, some of you are not. Some of you have followed Jesus your whole life. Some of you are doing the religious thing because it's what you've always done. I want you, as we think through this, to ask yourself, who am I really following? What is the picture of the good life that I have painted for me, this imagination that has the good life that has captured my imagination? What is that? Who is calling the shots in the administration of your heart? The world tells us to follow your heart, be true to yourself, trust no one but yourself, and to thine own self be true. Are you happy? Are you satisfied? Do you feel like you're chasing after the wind? Building your own kingdom and satisfying your will cannot satisfy you, and seeking your will cannot satisfy you. Though it may distract you for a season, it'll inevitably dry up. It will inevitably depreciate the stockpile that you have created for yourself. It will disappoint, it will fade away, and it will deceive. Your will may desire power and privilege, accolades and affluence, comfort and pleasure, but it will lead you into destruction because it leads you away from the power of God's kingdom. This is what Solomon. There is a way that seems right to a man. Our picture of the good life, our will. But in the end, if it is not the will of God, it is not aligned with the heart of God, it leads to death. And Proverbs talked later, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. In a multitude of people is the glory of a king, but without people, a prince is ruined. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Pursuing our will for our life is spiritual catastrophe. Jesus says later, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, these are the people that did all kinds of things and were moral and were religious, and they even did things in Jesus' name, but they didn't know Him. And He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. The only way to enter the kingdom of heaven is to renounce the citizenship in rival kingdoms, in your own heart, and in associations in the kingdoms and man-made empires of this world, and submit yourself to the rule and will of the Father. when you say, not my will, but, I'm sorry, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This personal surrender to the will of God. But we also must pour in Scripture. God's word is His will. If you want to know what God's will for your life is, it's not determined by open doors and fleeces that you lay out. It's not done by random Bible verses that you open up and it just so happens to fall on it. It's not found by a Google search, a magic eight ball. It's not determined with a divine crystal ball. And it doesn't give you the goosebumps or the warm, fuzzy peace that you want. Often God's will not give you that warm, fuzzy peace, but a divine restlessness in your soul until you obey and submit to the will of God. God's will is revealed to His people when they open up and read their Bible. Not talk about the Bible, not have theology, good theology about the Bible, but to open up God's Word, because God's Word is a window to the heart of God that we open and see the glory of our God. There are universal expressions for God's will. And as we read the Bible, sometimes we come across verses, and there's really not a lot of them that said, this is the will of God. But there are a few. This is the will of God, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Here's another one. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God. Another one. This is the will of God. What? By doing good, you should silence the ignorance of foolish people. However, you won't find information about specifics on dating or career paths or when to buy a house or stock tips or when to retire and what to do in retirement. But what it gives you is so much more and so much better than that. The Bible reveals the wisdom of God, which is needed to navigate a world that is crazy, that is upside down, while nations are raging. Remember, the will of God for His people is to be like Jesus. His will is that you would know Jesus so well, the image of the invisible God, that you begin to think like Jesus and act like Jesus and love like Jesus. Not just to be able to quote chapter and verse and know a good doctrine, but to take that truth of that doctrine that you know and understand and translate that into a life that reflects Jesus' priority in His heart and it obeys His command out of joy. We are called to pour so much of God's Word into our heart and our heads that we are transformed by it. Brothers and sisters, you've heard it say, you are what you eat. And that's why the prophets were, I think it was Ezekiel or Jeremiah, was told, eat this book. And he said it was sweet. Brothers and sisters, we metaphorically are called to eat God's Word so it becomes a part of us. To let the folk religion and the junk food and the trans fats of this world of morality and religion and self-exaltation that will destroy us. We need to feed on God's Word. When we seek the will of God, we have to get out of the thinking that somehow the Bible is a decoder ring to decipher God's hidden plan for you and the world and what's happening in our world. But the Word of God is the trellis that stabilizes and guides your spiritual growth according to the gardener's plan, to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, to be able to bloom and glory and glorify your Maker. Paul says this in Romans 12 that Larry read for us. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is what the will of God is for you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what? what the will of God is for you. What is good and acceptable and perfect. Three things that Paul tells us here. He says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Submit yourself all the way down to your body to the will of God. Don't be conformed to the thinking and the priorities of this world that want you to do what they want to do. And it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the process of pursuing the will of God for us. We don't get a crystal ball. That would be convenient. What do I do here, Lord? Go look in the crystal ball. We don't get a text message for heaven. That would be a convenient text, 987 to Jesus, and he'll tell you what you need to know. No, what we got, the Lord calls us to do is surrender ourselves to Jesus as an offering. All to you I surrender. We turn away from the world, which will lead us away from Christ, and transfer our minds by the Word of God. And the Lord gives us wisdom to navigate difficult work situations, relationships, life choices that we have to do. John Newton, the great theologian that wrote Amazing Grace, says, the Lord guides and directs his people by affording them, in answer to prayer, the light of his Holy Spirit. Okay, the Spirit guides us, which enables them to understand and to love the Scriptures. The Word of God is not to be used as a lottery, but is to furnish us with just principles, right apprehensions to regulate our judgments and affections, and therefore influence and direct our conduct. All of you have been gifted in different ways in your jobs, in your relationships, all these different things. And sometimes we can be so crippled by what's my future look like that we fail to live faithfully in the season of life where he's called us. So you can work at company A or company B and still be in the will of God. You can marry person A or person B. And as long as they are like-minded and love Jesus, you're good. Trusting the Lord. Being devoted and work to the glory of God. Be devoted to your marriage as a picture of Christ in the church. We do God's will. In your relationships, in all of life, we seek to live and follow the principles that the Lord gives us in his words. When we have God's wisdom, we see the world in a new way. We see it like God does. We don't need a sign from heaven. We don't need to go to the beach and see a banner behind a plane to know what to do. We have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit working in his word, exalting Christ, glorifying the Father, that enables us to, that the kingdom of God is working in us and through us. Ocean Park, if you want to know God's will for your life, turn off the TV, put down your phone, get off the computer, and open your Bible. As a pastor, I am alarmed and grieved at how little we read God's Word. Now, I have been very deliberate for 10 years I've been here that when our service is saturated in the Word of God, I have people who have literally say, we read too much Scripture. And I said, you know you said that out loud, right? Why do we do that? Because I believe, like the prophet said, we are in a famine for the Word of God. We have so much information out there that we are chasing after the craziest thing. There are books like The Bible Code, Unlocking God's Secret Message by You Go This Verse. It's stupid. It's stupid. That's not a word that we use in the Partika home, but sometimes you have to use ugly words in the pulpit to get this across. We try to get all these things, we're reading God's Word and knowing that. And you read as you open up your guts. And listen, I know the Bible and the culture is a weird and wonderful place. It was a long time ago with different customs and different people and even some Bibles, a different way of speaking. But when we open up God's Word, we say, Lord, guide us and direct us. And this is why it's so important. Again, how do we know what God's will for my life? Come to church. I tell people, I'm no Charles Spurgeon. But I know that every Sunday morning you're going to get a good home-cooked meal. And that when I'm opening up God's Word, and sometimes there is truth, and I look and I said, Larry needs to hear this. Or Mike needs to hear this. Or Margaret needs to hear this. And I hope she's encouraged. Or what would she think? So I'm putting this to, and the elders who lead are in our discussions and preach in Sunday school and all these things coming together and say, we want to open up God's Word because it's what gives life to our soul and it leads us in there. Listen, turn the TV off, put down your phone, and find time where you can read God's Word. Because, again, if you starve your body, you are going to be weak and you break down, physically and emotionally. But if you starve your soul is not prepared for the temptations, for the troubles, the confusion, and your body will be affected by it. We are physical and spiritual beings that our body affects our spirit, and our spirit affects our body. We need to rest, we need to eat, we need fellowship. It is not good for a man to be alone, and that is not just with marriage. That is all of us. And we need to feed our soul because God has made us holistic creatures, and we need all of this. Find time to open God's Word that you can learn the proper motivations in your decision-making that you have to know. That you have, and pray that Lord would give you the proper attitude and faith and obedience. That you would have humility and teachability. That you would be listening for what you need to know. And again, it's not like some weird, like, I saw a... something like an animal or something. I'm looking for a sign and then something weird happens here. Oh, that's definitely a sign. No, open up your Word and see what the Lord reveals of His heart. And many times specific instructions that Christians are called to follow. And that His desire, that His glory may be made known in the way we live our lives and the proclamation of the gospel. And if you're seeking God's will for your life, pour scriptures into your heart and follow Jesus' example as He gave us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. God's Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your way. It's the wisdom that guides you through the mountains high and through the valleys low. It is what keeps you content in lack and in plenty, in sickness and in poor health. It is the encouragement that your soul needs to combat the lies that the devil and then your own heart will whisper to you. It is the shepherd's crook of the good shepherd that brings you back to the path of righteousness. Without the Word of God, we are lost, stumbling in the darkness. But by the light of God's Word, our minds are renewed, our lives are transformed. Therefore, we pray, Thy will be done. And finally, I know I'm running out of time, a plead for shalom. God, perfect obedience to God's will awaits the return of the King. And that therefore, when we pray, Thy will be done, it is a missionary prayer that the great King of creation would bring all things on earth and submit into submission to His kingdom to do His will as it is in heaven, that it may be on earth. As we look at the war in the Holy Land, we pray that the Prince of Peace would not only work in my heart and my family's heart and my nation's heart, but in my world. that every rebel heart that rages against God's kingdom or lives a secular life without reference to God at all, that God would conquer evil, that He would silence the boast of the prideful and the wicked. When we see things like ISIS terrorizing, when we see like Hamas beheading innocent people, we pray, Lord, stop their hearts or change their hearts. Because that is, evil is wicked. We also pray that the shalom would wipe away the tears of the oppressed. That He would relieve the suffering of the afflicted. That He will, as He promised, banish sin and death from the cosmos. When we pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, we are asking the Father to do what we know that He has already begun to do. To bring fulfillment in the history of the human race and usher in a new age of His glory. And how has He done this? How has He began this work of bringing shalom, wholeness, restoral, renewal through the cross of Christ? Colossians 1:20 says this, and through Him, Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, whether on earth or heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross, that you who were once alienated and hostile in minds, doing evil deeds, has now been reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. The will of God is that you may be like Jesus. At Calvary, Christ's campaign against evil was accomplished. For the cross was the fatal blow that sealed the victory, though Christ's enemies are still desperately fighting in vain. As the author of Hebrews tells us, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, He sat down at a place of honor and fellowship at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until His enemies should be made a footstool for His feet. Brothers and sisters, a day is coming where the demand of the first man and the first woman that has echoed through every subsequent heart of human beings, not as you will, God, but as I will be replaced with Christ's prayer in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. And when this happens, the tragic effects of sin will cease, and the Lord will begin the process of not only stopping evil, but restoring and renewing His creation as it is in heaven. In the dark of night, we'll sing in a moment before the dawn, my soul be not afraid. From the promised morning, oh how long, O God of Jacob, be my strength. Every vow we've broken and betrayed, You are the faithful one. From the garden to the grave, bind us together, bring shalom. We will feast in the house of Zion. We will sing with our hearts restored. He has done great things, we will say together. We will feast and weep no more. Ocean Park, we must stop praying that God would show us the future and start praying that God would give us confidence that He holds the future. And while we watch and wait, we point people towards Jesus. We proclaim the work of Jesus at Calvary. We participate in Christ's work, and we pray for Christ to return. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Gracious Heavenly Father, Your will be done. In my life, in Ocean Park's life, in our nation, in our world. Lead us and guide us by the truth of Your word, that it will not be just simply academic or intellectual knowledge or a form of moral superiority or self-righteousness, but it will be a transforming power that the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would make us men and women who look more like Jesus every day. That we would go forth from here with the proclaiming the good news and working and seeking the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.